Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 160 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. We're going to talk a lot of playoff football tonight as Ankeny is getting ready to take on Valley in the Class 5A semifinals on Friday at the Unidome. The game will be at 4 p.m. Later on, I'll be visiting with an opposing coach who is very familiar with both of these teams. I'll also be talking to one of the Hawks' senior leaders. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He is the head coach of the Ankeny squad, and he has guided the defending state champions to a 9-2 record thus far. He is Rick Nelson. Rick, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Yep, thanks for having me. Doing great.
Hey, you bet. Well, let's just touch briefly on your team's quarterfinal win on Friday. You guys led by just 7-0 at halftime, and then you pulled away for a 37-7 victory at Cedar Rapids Prairie. You know, that was really an impressive win, and especially a dominant second half. You had to be really happy to get out of there with a 30-point win.
It was amazing. I get nervous every week, but I was really nervous about their offense, the single wing. A similar team, Centennial, but it was still different. So we were very pleased. Our defense held them to 1 yard rushing with some of the lost yardage plays we had. And so I was very pleased. They got us a little bit at the start of the game. We couldn't move the ball very well. And we just switched at halftime to just running power and inside zone, just kind of at them. And we did a nice job. And our defense gave us some really good field position. So it was – I couldn't have been happier. The guys had a great game plan, and our kids played extremely well.
Well, yeah, we'll talk with the other guests here in a few minutes about your team's defensive performance. You know, but as far as your offense went, and you kind of touched on this, but you guys really committed to that running game in the second half, and that worked out very well. Colin Kadolf rushed for 78 of his 116 yards and both of his touchdowns in the second half. I mean, you just kind of felt like you needed to commit yourself to that running game, didn't you?
Yes, it was – We were close in the first half. We were trying to run a lot of counter, and they were a little quicker than what we anticipated, and we just couldn't get Kadolf going. And they made some nice plays. That they were very aggressive defense, and you know, give it to them. They took it to us in the first half.
Let's break down the Valley game now. Your defense has allowed just 24 points in the last five games since you dropped a 38-35 decision at Valley on October 1st. And for the season, you guys have allowed just 6.4 points per game in the 10 games when you weren't playing Valley. So it really seems like that game was an aberration. Do you think that was just an off night for your defense?
Well, it had a lot to do with Valley. I mean, but we missed 19 tackles. We had a lot of mental errors. We fumbled a punt. We did some things that are uncharacteristic of how our defense is played, but give Valley credit. They did a nice job. They had a great game plan. They did some different things to us that they hadn't shown. But I have all the confidence in the world in our kids. We bounced back and we fought back, and that leaves a little sour taste in our mouth. And so I know our kids are excited to get a chance to play Valley again.
Well, Valley's definitely good enough. You know, that they're a team that can take advantage of those kind of mistakes. They're coming off a 40-14 win over Pleasant Valley. You know, and it's a team that certainly presents a big challenge. On Friday, the Tigers really turned to their running game as Deion Hutch rushed for 211 yards and five touchdowns. But for the season, Valley's really been a pretty balanced team. They had 436 yards in that game against you guys. They had 169 on the ground and 267 through the air. Quarterback Mason Morrow threw four touchdown passes. You know, and the thing that really sticks out in my mind about that game was how Morrow was able to keep plays alive with his feet, because he really got out of trouble a few times and really made something out of nothing. I mean, he's good at that, isn't he?
Yeah, we've played him twice now. I think the one young man was deemed ineligible maybe the week before we played him. So we had him last year, and he was very slippery. And he's the same type of young man. He moves well in the pocket and keeps his eyes downfield and makes some plays. And he has some targets to throw to. We have some kids that can run. And so our deal is keep him in the pocket. And I think if we do that, he's not a huge pure passing quarterback. He's a very athletic quarterback that can make some plays. So if we can keep him in the pocket and keep him from scrambling, I think things will go a lot better for us on Friday.
Well, you mentioned that he has some talented receivers to throw to. His favorite target is the big tight end, Eli Raridan, who is headed to Notre Dame. He's caught 45 passes for 566 yards and 9 touchdowns. You just don't see too many tight ends like him, do you?
No, he's special. He's really, from a year ago when we played him, I think he's probably put on 20 pounds or 25 probably. And it's muscle. I mean, we seven on, we do a lot of things with Valley. I think the world of Gary. And we did some 7-on-7 with this summer, and I saw him. I was like, oh, my gosh. He's really impressive looking.
Well, even with your struggles on defense, you know, in that game, your team did rally from a 31-21 deficit. You took a 35-31 lead before Valley drove for the winning touchdown, which came with just 13 seconds left. And I know you told me after the game that you thought your defense could hold anyone to 21 points or less. You know, if you could do that on Friday, you'd have to like your chances.
Yes, that's I think as a coach, as just generally speaking, that if you have defense that can hold teams to 21, now it's up to the offense to score 24 or 23 or 20. I think that's realistic. I don't think it's unrealistic. So I have a lot of confidence in our coaches. I have a lot of confidence in our kids. We have kids that really love each other and love to play. And so they're excited to be inside playing in the dome and get a chance to play Valley.
Well, your offense was certainly clicking on all cylinders that night. J.J. Cole completed 18 of 30 passes for 331 yards and 4 touchdowns. Colin Kadolf rushed 28 times for 147 yards and a touchdown. Both Brady McCall and Will Henricks had over 100 yards receiving. You know, you have to feel pretty good about that matchup, your offense against their defense.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, they're not going to change. That's their base defense, and they'll tweak a couple things here or there, but they're going to play the same coverage, and they're going to do what they do, and we're going to do what we do. And can they stop our offense, or can we block their players, and can we catch? And I think it'll be a good football game. I hope it's not a slugfest. I really believe our defense will rise to the occasion.
Well, Valley's defense hasn't been as consistently good, you know, as your defense has been. They've given up 30 or more points 4 times. But you don't think they'll make too many adjustments to try to maybe play better than what they did last time?
Well, they will, but most teams are going to have their base stuff that they do regardless of who they play. They may, you know, maybe they'll double McCullough. You know, maybe they'll – well, first time we played them, they blitzed – on first down, trying to keep us into second long. So maybe they'll do that again. You know, they played some two man against us. They played some man against us. What's happening with our offense is JJ's getting more comfortable, seeing things, and he's a much better quarterback today than he was week one or week six. He just keeps getting better.
When you mentioned the fumbled punt that you guys had, that came early in the second half, and Valley went on to score the go-ahead touchdown, you know, shortly thereafter, and that was the only turnover of that game. So obviously, if you guys can win the turnover battle this time, I mean, that would go a long ways towards winning the game, wouldn't it?
Yes, those are tough, and nobody means to do that. I mean,
sure,
you know, that was just one of the deals. I think he took his eye off the ball a little bit, trying to see what, you know, what was in front of him, and he just misjudged it, and. You know, if he had that thing kicked to him 10 times, he catches it 9. So that's not the reason we lost. We played poorly enough to not deserve to win.
Well, this is Valley's first trip to the Dome since 2019 when they lost in the finals to Dowling. And I imagine some of those seniors probably played in those games as sophomores, but you guys probably have a lot more players who are back from last year's title team. Do you think there's any advantage there for you guys just having a little more experience playing in the Dome?
No, I think – you know, their tradition is pretty strong at Valley. I mean, they've been in the Dome a lot, and they've played in big games, and I think it is neat to, if it's the first time you've never been in the Dome and played in the Dome, it is really, it's really a neat experience, but I don't see that being a favor to probably either team, in my opinion.
Do you think somebody like JJ, who hasn't played there before, I mean, will take him maybe a play or two to adjust to that atmosphere there?
Well, there won't be any wind.
Yeah.
and there's no crown on the field. I think he'll be okay. I mean, I think he's calmed down. He's much more confident. He can make some throws that probably I don't know if another quarterback in the state can make. So I think he'll be just fine.
Well, no one of his deep balls on Friday got hung up in the air there over in Cedar Rapids. So, yeah, he won't have to deal with that this time, will he?
That's true.
Well, if you guys can win your game, you know, then you can sit back and maybe relax a little bit, watch some of the other semifinal game between Southeast Polk and Iowa City High. You're obviously very familiar with the Rams. But what do you know about Iowa City High, and do you think they have a chance to pull off an upset there?
No, I haven't watched them on tape. They must have some awful good players. I've seen the young man that's already committed to wrestle and play football. Looks like a nice big kid. And just seen some things on social media where showing some highlights and stuff. They look like they're pretty athletic. So I know Mitch does a great job. He was at Iowa State, so I've known him a while. Then he was at Roosevelt, and I know he does a good job and having his kids prepared. So it's a tough task for Iowa City because Southeast Polk's a pretty talented football team.
For sure. Well, I think both games should be fun to watch. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, good luck on Friday. I'll see you up there, Coach.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my next guest is a senior defensive back and receiver for the Hawks. He led the team with 10 tackles in Friday's win, and he now has 49 tackles on the season to go with a couple of interceptions and 7 catches for 83 yards and a touchdown. He's also returned a kickoff for a touchdown. He is Ryan Crandall. Ryan, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the win Friday. You told me afterwards, before the semifinal pairings came out, that you really wanted to play Southeast Polk. So were you disappointed, you know, with how the matchups came out?
No. You know, I think everyone's excited. So if we win, we get to play them in the championship if they end up winning too. So I think we're all looking forward to that. We just got to take week by week, though. We got to win this game and then, you know, move on to the next. So.
Sure. Well, your defense just had a great game on Friday. You allowed Prairie to rush for just 1 yard, a coach was saying, because of all the sacks that you had. You know, and that's a team that likes to run the ball about 75% of the time. So even though their quarterback, Brandon Vicko, completed 24 of 38 passes for 276 yards, you know, that probably wasn't what they wanted to do, was it?
Oh, no. Yeah, we had a really good game plan, you know, going into that game. And I got to give credit to our coach on the defensive staff. You know, they had it all planned out. We were repping it Monday through Thursday, and we really held them down. And I mean, they were good enough to go into the spread, and they threw it around a little bit too. So, you know, they're a good team, and we just played really good defense.
Did you kind of feel like going into it though that if you could shut that running game down and make them one dimensional, that would really allow your pass rush to, you know, to get after the quarterback?
Oh, for sure. You know, that 7-0 lead at the beginning is very good against a team like that, because chew the clock. That's their game. And if you get a lead on them, you know, it's kind of hard for them to, you know, come back from that.
So. Right. Well, your defense, for the most part, you know, has been every bit as good as last year's defense. That was one of the keys to your winning the title. Now, considering some of the guys that you had replaced, like Brecken Manis and Caleb Rachi, and there were many more, you know, do you think this year's defense could be as successful as it has been?
I do, personally. Eaton coming in was a big part of, you know, what our defense is like today. We moved a couple people around, Cornwell to safety, Tamden to where Brecken played. So, you know, obviously they had to adjust to that, but throughout the season, it's just gotten better and better. Every single one of our players on the defensive side, Nate Nessa playing Sam linebacker, he's just been getting better and better. It's just awesome to see the growth in our team and even our corners, two juniors, only juniors on the defensive side of the ball. So, and they've been pretty good for the most part. So yeah, it's just exciting to see everyone grow.
Well, let's talk about Valley now. When you look back at that first game, you know, obviously your defense had its worst game of the season. Do you think it was just an off night for the defense, or do you have to give Valley, you know, a lot of credit?
You got to give Valley credit. You know, going in that game is their homecoming. Obviously Reardon, their quarterback's one of the better ones in the state. So, you know, you got to give them credit, but I don't think we played to our full potential. I think we maybe went to that game a little bit too confident. A mistake we made week two, too. So I think after the Valley game, you know, we really told our players we can't go into each week. Well, obviously going confident, but knowing that, you know, we got to prepare, you know, every team's going to be good from now on. So, and we've done a good job of that. Obviously we beat Northwest twice and then the Prairie team last week. So we just got to keep doing what we're doing and we'll be good.
Well, you mentioned the tight end, Raritan. I know you were matched up with him, you know, quite a bit in that first game. And he's probably one of the few guys that you have to cover that's actually bigger than you.
Yeah.
What challenges does he present for the defense?
You know, he's just a one-in-a-lifetime player. Just huge frame. He's strong. He's athletic. He's fast. He has everything that a tight end needs. But I've been playing basketball and with him since I was younger. And, you know, he's always just been that good. But I knew going to that game, it was going to be a hard matchup. And, you know, he may have got the upper hand on me, but, you know, this week I think we'll be able to shut him down.
Well, I mentioned earlier that Deion Hutch ran for over 200 yards in their win on Friday. And Valley's always been a team that wants to run the ball, and they'll just keep pounding away at it if they're successful. So do you feel like the key to stopping them will be to stop the run first, kind of like it was against Prairie?
Yeah, for sure. You know, they had a couple good runs against us the first game. I'm not sure if the number 9 is playing anymore. I don't Danny Rankin?
Yeah, he just played a little bit against, I know, Centennial a couple weeks ago.
So, you know, we're preparing for number 8, but if number 9 plays, then – you know, we'll have to adjust, but they're similar backs. But you know, we're preparing very well. You know, our practice day was really good. So,
well, then on the other side of the ball, you know, you've also been seeing some action on offense. Although I don't think you had too many snaps, you know, at Prairie on offense. Are you hoping to play, you know, both ways a little more on Friday?
You know, that after week two is when I started playing offense a little more. I think our offense just needed a little, I don't know what you call it, swag or a little boost to it. But then Will Heinrich stepped in against Valley, very impressed with, he's been playing very well. So it gives me a break so I can, you know, perform
sure
very high on defense. But I go on 10 personnel, 4 receivers. So I'm expecting to do that this week too.
Well, you guys are pretty much used to playing on turf fields now. So do you have to make very many adjustments when you go to the dome? Is that turf, you know, pretty similar to the ones around the CIML?
It isn't similar. It's actually very different. I actually went to a UNI game not too long ago and kids were wearing turf shoes on there, but it's very different turf. But that atmosphere wise, it's going to be a lot different because, you know, last year no one could come.
Right.
But I think we're expecting a good crowd and they're going to have a good crowd too. So it's going to be a fun time.
Well, I asked Coach about this because, you know, JJ hasn't played there before. Obviously, you know, playing in that atmosphere with the noise and everything, I mean, he's going to have to adjust a few things, isn't he?
Yeah, he'll adjust perfectly fine, you know. It's JJ. He will.
Yeah. Well, do you like playing in the 4 p.m. game on Friday? Because then you don't have to sit around all day and wait to play.
Oh, yeah. I know. Getting up early is going to be nice. And then Coach over here got us a nice lunch at the Brown Bottle in Cedar Falls. So it's going to be a nice time.
There you go. Yeah, Coach has got some connections up there, doesn't he?
Yep.
Well, obviously, if you guys win, you know, you could have a rematch against Southeast Polk in the finals. And obviously, you mentioned that you want that. But Ankeny has won the last 5 meetings against Southeast Polk. And, of course, their coach, Brad Zelenovich, has never defeated his former school. So I'm guessing they'd probably want a shot at you guys, too, don't you think?
Yeah. I'm sure they do. You know, it's just more for us to prove. So.
Well, I know Coach doesn't want you to look past a Friday, but if you were able to get that rematch, you know, in that first meeting against them this year, of course, Xavier Wampa didn't play. You guys won that one 21-7. And I'm guessing you'd like a chance to play against him one more time before your end of your career, wouldn't you?
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of our players, you know, we don't want to use the excuse of them losing to us because he wasn't there. I think
right.
We want to be able to beat them with everyone. And we all believe we can do it. So, you know, we're just excited. We're just going to take week by week, though, and focus on Valley in the next week. Yep.
Well, yeah, I think that'd be an exciting game if we get to that point. But I think the two games this Friday are going to be good, too. Well, good luck on Friday, Ryan. I'll see you up there.
I appreciate it, Dan.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, my final guest tonight is a longtime assistant coach at Dowling Catholic. He coaches the Maroons offensive line, and he's very familiar with all four teams in the semifinals because Dowling has played all four teams this season. So I thought it'd be fun to get his take on the semifinal matchups. He is Andy Pollack. Andy, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Absolutely. Always fun to talk football.
Hey, you bet. Well, I know it was strange for you last year when Dowling wasn't in the championship game, and now, of course, you guys fell one win shy of making the semifinals. I believe this is the first time since 2012 that you haven't, you know, made it to the Dome, which, of course, is near your old stomping grounds of Appleton-Parkersburg. But, you know, but that's a pretty impressive run that you guys have been on. You got to be awfully proud of what you guys accomplished, you know, since then.
We were. There was a lot of people that that played a hand in making that happen. We had a lot of great kids. Even the ones that weren't able to make it that far, there was a lot that built up to that. That level, we always look back on our 2009 team that lost in the semifinals as kind of the moment where we figured out that we need to switch a little bit the way that we were doing things, and that was certainly a very talented team. They weren't able to win the title, but 2009 really set the tone then for, you know, a long run of success that we were able to have.
Well, you guys played half of your games this season against the four teams that are still standing. You opened the season with a loss to Southeast Polk on a Hail Mary in the final play. And then, of course, you dropped a rematch against the Rams 38-28 in the quarterfinals on Friday. You know, so let's start with the Southeast Polk game against Iowa City High. You guys also lost to the Little Hawks 21-17 on September 17th. Now, I don't know too much about City High other than that they have a stud two-way player in Ben Keeter. But how do you see that matchup?
It's interesting. Actually, I'm going to go back to the beginning of your question. I never thought of it that way. Yeah, we played half of our teams against semifinal teams this year. Didn't really think of
it's
it that
tough
way.
Schedule.
I knew they were all on our schedule, but yeah, I didn't really think of it that way. So City High, very impressive to play against them this year. They do some things schematically, especially on defense, that make things very difficult on you. Mitch works those kids very hard all through the summer. They were very prepared for us. They were able to throw some things at us that you don't prepare for. He's always got a trick play or two up his sleeve on offense as well. And so it just makes you have you can't prepare for that stuff because they put it in there at a moment that you're least expecting it. So they scored two double pass touchdowns on us to win that game. We thought we had our one, and they scored, you know, two of those, and we lose 21-17. And again, defensively, they make you very uncomfortable. You have to be very disciplined in your approach. Really not a ton, unlike what Ankeny does. It's a three-man front, and they move their front all over the place. So anybody who's watched Ankeny this year would kind of get that. They mix up their coverages on you and just, again, don't allow you to get very comfortable in what you're doing offensively.
Now, I know you guys lost your quarterback, Jackson Smolik, to an injury in that first Southeast Polk game, and he was out most of the season. But the Rams, of course, lost Xavier Wampa to an injury a couple of weeks later, and he didn't play, and the Rams lost to Ankeny. And then, of course, running back Titus Christensen also missed some time due to an injury. But I see both of those guys, you know, are back now. I know Xavier has been back for a while, and they played on Friday. So do you think Southeast Polk's getting healthy at the right time?
Yeah, for sure. And we've been beneficiaries of that in the past, too. If you're going to have injuries, you want to have them earlier in the year, and then you give some other guys a chance to see what they can do, and then your dudes get back at the right time and you know what they can do. The thing that that Brad's done with Nwampa in particular over there right now is they're using him a lot on offense. And last year in that in their run, you know, you got the best player in the state, one of the best players in the country. He's ended up sitting on the sidelines for a lot. They used him a little bit on offense, but he had five catches in the first quarter against us the other night. They're using him in a lot of different ways. He threw a touchdown pass against us, so using him a lot. And he makes everybody else better by having to focus on him, because the second we figure out a way to kind of take him out of the game, well, before you know it, then Christensen goes off running the ball in the second half, and Sama had a great game against us as well. So those guys, Sama is a really talented back, but he's also their best corner. So right. they had to figure out the ways to use him, and they did it very well. And, you know, we weren't able to capitalize on a couple things inside the five-yard line. Didn't score twice inside the five, otherwise that's probably a different game. But they make you very tough to defend them right now because of their dudes that they've got. And, oh, yeah, don't forget they've got a 6'8", 320-pound left tackle that's got offers from everywhere
right.
as well.
Well, yeah, I noticed in the highlights from that game that Wampa was playing a lot on offense.
Yeah.
And the first thing I thought to myself was, well, Brad's only going to coach him for a few more games.
Correct,
he probably wants
yes.
to get the most out of him. So.
Yep, no doubt. And they've got other dudes, too. They're, you know, one of the best players in the state is their center. I can't remember if he's going to North Dakota or North Dakota State. Borid, I think, is how you say the last name. And he's a talented kid as well, a D1 player. And Jackson Daly going to Arkansas State, a D1 quarterback. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that's probably one of the best collections of talent that the state of Iowa has ever seen on the football field at the same time.
Well, of course, the Iowa City High's only loss came at Pleasant Valley, 31-14. And last year, Pleasant Valley got hammered by Southeast Polk in the semifinals. And I know this is a different year, but, you know, do you think we could possibly see a repeat, of that drubbing?
It would not surprise me. Southeast Polk has athletes that Iowa City High has not seen on the field at a given point this year. That being said, again, if you haven't figured out a game plan for what Iowa City High runs at you defensively, you're not going to be able to move the ball on it. It's not something where you get big plays or anything like that. You have to have a plan in particular for how they do everything. And again, it has to be a very disciplined approach. They will not likely drive the ball on Southeast Polk, but again, with the trick plays, they'll toss a couple in there and they will score a couple touchdowns. So I do think 21 points would probably be enough for either team to win that game.
Let's talk about Ankeny versus Valley now. These two teams played a really entertaining game on October 1st with the Tigers coming out on top 38-35 thanks to a game-winning drive in the final minute. You know, do you think you can take away much from that game, or do you think both teams have changed enough in the last 5 weeks and will probably make some adjustments that you really can't, you know, read too much into that outcome?
You really do, and that's one of the reasons we were able to be successful in our run was when you play those teams a second time, you adjust a little bit. There's always the you run that risk of adjusting too much. You have some things that worked. It's a healthy balance to figure out, okay, what worked, what didn't, what are they going to do to adjust? There's a lot of mind games that go on when you play a team a second time. I do think in the second half of that game, we were able to expose a little bit of Valley's weakness in the secondary, and I think that's certainly something that Ankeny will be able to capitalize on. I was very surprised. That was kind of a coming out party for the Valley running backs. They've got an incredible stable. Their two running backs that they have there are so good, so quick, and their quarterback has played much better than anybody expected out of him this year. Downplaying the talent that they've got a whole lot, I think this is one of Gary's better coaching jobs that he's done, because I don't think many people that knew what Valley had this year were expecting them to be where they are right now. That win against Ankeny, certainly the pinnacle of where they've been
right.
So far this year. Ankeny will have a game plan to get that stopped much better. It was very interesting to see them put up that many points on the Ankeny defense. I'm not sure anybody's done that.
Oh, they haven't, yeah.
Come even close to doing that, throughout the course of this season.
Well, yeah, of course, you guys dropped a 27-13 decision to Ankeny on September 10th, and that was a night when your offense really struggled. Your quarterback went just 9 of 28 and was picked off twice, and you guys rushed for only 46 yards, what might be the lowest ever you guys have ever had.
Well, until the game on Friday night, I'm not sure we topped that on Friday night against Southeast Polk. We really had a tough time running the football against them. That was, a week or two after our quarterback had gone down. We really didn't know what we had yet at that point. Once Jackson came back, things were much better for us. Our quarterback, Jake English, had done a really nice job for us as the season went on. It was tough for him early on. This was a guy that has a baseball scholarship and was just coming in to be our backup quarterback this year in case we needed him. And we're not expecting that, 10, 15 minutes into the season, now all of a sudden our backup quarterback needed to play. We started using a sophomore a little bit more as well, but things changed for us quite a bit when Jackson came back and we were able to protect him. And that's part of the discovery process throughout the course of the year, and I think everybody else that's in right now would agree with that. In Class 5A football in Iowa, pretty much half of your roster is turning over every year. It's very much junior and senior dominated, so you take a few games to figure out exactly what you've got. I think Ankeny saw that earlier in the year. With how to use J.J. Cole and how to have a combination of, okay, you've got some playmakers over there with him and Kadolph, and I can't, they're the wide receiver tight end escapes me.
Yeah, McCullough.
Yeah, McCullough, of course. How to use those guys and how they can all mesh together, but once they figured it out, Ankeny's got things clicking.
Well, yeah, of course, Ankeny lost, a lot of guys from that defense last year, but you saw them in week three. I mean, you had to be impressed with their defense because there hasn't been much drop-off.
They lost some guys, but they also brought back a lot of guys. I mean, the Gavin kid is a really special player. He's done a nice job. I think I saw there's another kid, well, Crandall, obviously, too, using him on defense and using him at safety and linebacker, some of the stuff he's been able to do. But they brought back a very healthy stable of guys, too. The cupboard definitely wasn't bare with what they brought back on defense.
Well, of course, you guys got Smolik back later in the season in the lineup, and you guys did defeat Valley 31-27. That was another entertaining game. But even in the loss, the Valley's quarterback, Mason Morrow, passed for 174 yards and 3 touchdowns. And I remember he made one spectacular play on a 4th-down play to keep a drive alive, and that was something that he did against Ankeny as well. He's able to make plays with his feet. I mean, he's really good at that, isn't he?
Yeah, and Morrow was a kid that came in last year when Valley had their, who's eligible, who's not type of thing that they went through when they brought in the quarterback from Colorado. But as they went through that, Mason Morrow stuck with it. He was a kid that people, you know, from the outside looking in, you're like, hey, this was a kid that was going to start. And now they brought in a recruit or however right. you want to term. Well, and from the outside looking in, you wonder, why is this guy sticking around? Well, he stuck with it. He had an opportunity then, and he's had a great season this year. And anybody who watched him grow up, he knew he was an okay quarterback, but he's really had an awesome senior year for them.
Well, Ankeny and Valley combined for 922 yards in their first meeting, so I'm sure both teams' defenses will be looking to make some adjustments on Friday. That game was clearly the worst of the season for the Hawks' defense. They've allowed only 64 points in their 10 other games this year. So what do you think will be the key matchups in this one?
Well, the Valley offensive line has come a long way. They're not one of the more talented groups that they've had there. Coach Ferguson, their offensive line coach, was the head coach at Ames last year, the head guy that mm-hmm. left, and he had been at Southeast Polk before that. He had been the Simpson offensive line coach before that. So certainly a guy that knows his football and knows how to put together a winning offensive line. That group was able to get Rankins and their other tailback loose running the football, and if they are able to run the football, that's part of what makes Mason Morrow, you know, a much more of a weapon back there is from the quarterback spot. With Raritan, one of the top recruits in the country, as a tight end, he just draws a lot of attention, and they move him around a lot, and you have to know where he's at on the field because just like that, he'll sneak up on you. He might be in the backfield. He could be split out at wide receiver. They just use him in so many different ways. And, oh, yeah, he's also, like, every time he's on the field, he finds a way to get a sack, too, on defense. He doesn't play a lot of defense, but they sneak him in their three-man front, and
right.
before you know it, he's in your quarterback's face. So that's the thing you're seeing is the talent level at all these schools that are remaining right now. They've got dudes. You look at Iowa City High, the Keeter. You look at Southeast Polk, although everybody knows about all those kids. You look at Valley, and there's Raritan, and there's a couple other kids that'll be college football players there. And Ankeny's got plenty of guys with JJ and McCullough going. I think was McCullough committed to UNI?
UNI,
is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. What's the story on Kadolph? I guess I don't know for sure.
Going to Minnesota State.
Minnesota yep. State, okay. Yep. And that's a kid that has a storied career here as a Hawk as well. And they've got plenty of other guys at Penningroth and some of those other guys that are just waiting on their turn to get that call to get a scholarship offer as well.
Sure. Well, you mentioned both of those standout receivers, Raritan and McCullough. Don't you think if either team is able to slow either one of those guys down without having to double team them the whole game, I mean, that would go a long way in helping that defense to shut down the other offense?
Yeah, for sure. But both those guys, they do demand your attention. And Raritan at his 6'6 frame or whatever it is, McCullough is not short either. I think he's about that exact same frame, very similar body types. But as you look at them, both teams have really, really special running backs. And it does not allow you then to focus on what either one of them have at one particular spot because you've got to figure out a way to defend it all.
So do you think this will be another shootout? I mean, do you have a prediction for me in this game?
Well, I do. I do think it will be a shootout again because I think both coaches offensively, nothing against the defensive coaches on either side, but I do think both teams are able to throw the ball well enough, and now you put them in the dome setting. I don't think it'll be as close as what it was last time, and you got to give the upper hand to Ankeny in it. I think the game was probably more of an aberration on their part, something that probably wasn't expected. I know that caught everybody else's attention that I'm aware of that night. But also Valley showed then against us and later on in the year that they are much better than what anybody expected them to be to start the year. They're still Valley. Gary Swenson still knows how to win football games. I would expect a lot of points to get put up in this one, but not to the extent that it was in that first game as far as from the Valley perspective. I think there's some things that Ankeny will have figured out.
So you think we're looking at an Ankeny Southeast Polk rematch in the final then?
I certainly would not be surprised to see that. I think all signs point to that.
Well, it's a game that I think a lot of people would look forward to. I know I would. So, well, hey, Andy, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it. Enjoy the conversation.
Absolutely.
You bet. All right. Well, I want to thank my guests for coming in tonight. We had Ankeny football coach Rick Nelson and one of his senior leaders, Ryan Crandall, along with Dowling assistant coach Andy Pollock, to help break down the semifinal matchups coming up this Friday at the Unidome. I enjoyed my conversation with all three of those guys, and should be a fun Friday up there at the Unidome. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica.